Tonight we want to return to our study on the walk of the believer. And tonight I want us to see the importance of walking carefully. Walking carefully. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in Ephesians chapter 5 with verse 15, and we'll read down through verse 21. Then we'll pause and ask the Lord's blessing upon our study of His Word tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, we see these words. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You tonight that we can come and look at this passage of Scripture, that we can consider the truth that is here revealed to us of the need of a believer to walk carefully. Now, Lord, I believe this is an important truth for us to consider and learn and be reminded of. Lord, no matter where we are in our own walk spiritually, we need to be careful in the places that we now tread. And spiritually, Lord, we need to ever be on guard and to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We want to have a good and proper testimony for Jesus Christ, and I pray that You would help us to learn to walk circumspectly as long as we live here upon this earth. And Lord, I'll thank You and praise You for the things that we'll see and discover tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In the summer of 1988, I was a carefree teenager who really didn't think much about what he did. I was heading into my sophomore year of high school. However, on one summer evening, that carefree spirit would be forever altered. I was at my cousin's house, and we were outside, and it was late at night. We were fooling around and doing some things with friends, and as I ran through a field, my foot went into a hole, my ankle stayed place, and I came through that and shattered my ankle. That was the first of two times that I would actually shatter that same ankle. Both would result in surgery. But from that day forward, I've always been careful where I would put my feet. I am very cautious when I go to put a foot down somewhere. You may often see me if I'm out in the field, if I'm out there with the kids or doing something, I don't really go full tilt any longer. It's not because I'm just getting old. It's because I'm afraid of doing again what I once did. I know the pain of it. I know the results of it. And I'm careful where I place my feet. I remember as a young man going hunting with my father, he'd always tell me, you know, you need to keep your eyes up. You need to be looking ahead. And I would find myself always looking down because I wanted to know where I would put my foot. Because if I step on uneven ground, there's a sharp pain that runs through my leg. And I'm careful where I step. You know, in this passage here tonight, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, we're told tonight that the Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, should be careful where they spiritually put their feet. That's the concept found in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. As we consider tonight the walk of a believer as a careful walk, there are two main thoughts that I want us to consider as we think about what it means to walk circumspectly. Number one, I want us to see tonight that we as believers should walk with concern. There ought to be a walk with concern as we travel through our lives spiritually, as we seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There should be a walk of concern. As we begin to understand this concept of the circumspect walk, I think it's important that we have a proper understanding of what that term means. The word circumspect itself means to be careful. It means to be exact or accurate. This carefulness is going to cause us to do various things or concern ourselves with three things. And verse 15, 16, and 17 point out those three concerns. To walk circumspectly means to be careful. It means to be exact or accurate. And if we're going to walk circumspectly, we're going to be concerned about three things. Number one, verse 15 is going to tell us that there should be a concern to walk in wisdom. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. If we're going to be careful in our Christian walk, there should be a concern that you and I, day by day, walk in wisdom. Paul gives us this challenge, and there are several key concepts that we need to understand in order to properly interpret this passage. And I want us to look at the various words that Paul uses here in verse 15, because I think verse 15 is an important verse to understand in our own Christian life and our walk. He begins by saying, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The word see in its original language, what we find is what's called a present active imperative. If you were to study the Greek language, that is how you would define that word in its original language. It's a present active imperative. So what does that mean? By definition, the idea that is here conveyed is that we are commanded as an imperative. It's a command. We are commanded in the present moment. That's the present active part of this word. We are commanded to, in the present moment, have an understanding of how we ought to walk. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Paul is giving to us a command. Know how to walk carefully. The word walk is an interesting word. And the word walk really carries the idea of being able to regulate one's life. To regulate one's life. We are to ensure and we are commanded to know how to regulate our life, again the word circumspectly, in a careful, exact manner. So as you put all that together, Paul is telling us, by way of a command, know how to regulate your life in an exact manner, in a way that is careful of the name that we bear. Understand the challenge. See then that ye walk circumspectly. As you live your life day by day, you are commanded to walk in a way and regulate your life carefully, concerned to walk in wisdom. Paul's going to help us understand this concept even more as he says, not as a fool, but as wise. We are to carefully regulate our life as a wise man, not as a fool. A fool can be understood simply as an unwise one. Literally, that's what the word means. To be a fool means you're not wise. So what is a wise man? The word wise here speaks of one that has skill. One who forms the best plans and uses the best means to execute those plans. There's wisdom. Paul is challenging us to walk wisely, to walk carefully, not to walk as a fool. Let me go back to the illustration I gave you earlier. If I were just to run at night outside without any thought of what was going on, and I were to break my ankle for the third time, am I wise or a fool? I'm a fool. I've gone through the pain. I know what it feels like. I know what kind of setbacks there will be. I'm already experiencing pain from the two times I've done it before. So wisdom tells me, and skill that I have learned is, don't do that. Although I would love to, and although I'm still a kid at heart and want to get out there and do all those things with them at the all-nighters, wisdom says, it's time to observe. You don't need to be back in that place again. Sometimes in our spiritual lives, we just plow ahead without any thought, without any wisdom, and wonder why we keep getting ourselves into the same old problems and the same old sins. And Paul is saying, learn to walk carefully. Be concerned that you walk in wisdom. If we're going to walk circumspectly, then we need to be concerned with wisdom. Let me ask us a few questions tonight. Are we careful in the way that we conduct the affairs of our lives? Are we careful with the company that we keep? Are we careful in the things that we view and read? Are we careful to wisely consider that which we listen to? Are we careful to guard our tongues and the things that we say? Paul is commanding us as a Christian to consider our walk and to walk wisely. How are we doing with that walk of life? Is there wisdom in what we do? Are we considering those areas of life, and are we using the spiritual skills that God has given us to walk carefully in our day? But you know, verse 16 goes on. Not only are we concerned with a walk of wisdom, but there's to be a concern to properly use our time. There's a concern to properly use our time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, verse 16 is one of those verses that for me was ingrained in my mind as a child. And it's still one that often resonates in my own mind and my own thinking. We're to be concerned about how we use our time. Consider this with me. For the Christian, we ought to be concerned for the one commodity that is of greater value than silver, than gold. And folks, that is time. Do you believe that? Do you consider time to be a precious commodity of greater value than silver and gold? I do. Our time is extremely important. And we're told to redeem our time. That word redeem, we're familiar with. It means to buy up for oneself. To redeem means to buy up for oneself. And we're told to buy up our time. When you study that word there for time in its original language, the concept of that word is opportunity. Time is equal to opportunity. And what Paul is saying is that we are to buy up the opportunities. We are to be concerned that we buy up each opportunity given to us by the Lord. We should make sacred use of every opportunity afforded to us, seeing we can never get those back. Think about that for a moment. God places before all of us opportunities. And once those opportunities are gone, they are gone. Some of you can look back and say, "Boy, I remember when my kids were pastor's age. Where has the time gone?" You know what? You only get one shot at it. You can't reverse time, rewind time, and shrink the kids back down and do it all over again. God gave you an opportunity with your children. We get one chance. We ought to buy those opportunities up. You think about what it was like when you first came to First Baptist Church. Some of you 30 some odd years ago or more. You will look back now and say, "Boy, where did the time really go?" Those were opportunities that God gave to you to serve Him. Some of you will look back now and say, "Well, I can't do what I once did." Those opportunities are gone. Once our time is spent, it's forever gone. We cannot reclaim time. Some people ask me, "Why are you so concerned about always starting things on time?" Because time is valuable. I don't want to waste time. I remember years ago hearing from another pastor that one of the greatest sins against another brother is for us to steal their time. It's one of the things he encouraged me with. As if it wasn't ingrained enough in the mind of a child that I was given from my mom and my dad. I mean, if something said 6 o'clock, that meant you were there at 5:30. In their mind, that's how it worked. And that's how we grew up. I remember talking to him one day and said, "Listen, you're going to make appointments with people as a pastor. Don't steal their time, because they can never get that back. Be on time. It's a courtesy." God wants us to redeem the time. Moses was so concerned about the use of time that in Psalm 90 verse 12, we have this prayer recorded: "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Lord, teach me to number my days. How many days do you and I have? No idea, do you? Neither do I. Know what we're reminded of in the Bible? Time is short, is it not? It's but a vapor. And it's also sacred, given to us by Almighty God. That's why we ought to not always be concerned about tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But today we ought to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We ought to be buying up the opportunities that God has given to us. For soon time will pass and our opportunities will be gone. But the one who is concerned with a careful walk will be concerned to properly use their time. Now verse 17. "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." There should be a concern to walk in the will of God. A concern to walk in the will of God. A circumspect walk will not only concern itself with wisdom and the proper use of time, but it will be concerned that we are careful to walk in the center of the will of God. That's why Paul called upon us to not be unwise. That word "unwise" here speaks of one who is without reason, one that is senseless. Believe it or not, in my concordance, it actually gave this definition: one that is stupid. To be unwise. Don't be unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is. It speaks of one who doesn't reflect upon the things before they decide. It's one who lacks basic intelligence. God says, don't be unwise. Use your sense. Seek to know the will of God. We are to be seeking understanding of the will of God. That word understanding there in that passage, to be understanding what the will of the Lord is, that word understanding literally means to set together. It means to see things clearly, to gain knowledge through close proximity. We are to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are to set together. We are to be sure that we see clearly what God's will is, and we gain knowledge through close proximity. The word will in that passage, the will of the Lord, or the will of God, that word will refers to the wishes or determinations of a person. Understand, know by drawing in close proximity to the other what the wish or determination of the Lord is. Some people ask, can I really know the will of God? Can we really know the will of God? The answer is yes. How? By staying in close proximity to God. The best way to do this is through the Word of God. In His Word, we have all that pertains to our lives and the means of godliness. His will is revealed in His Word. Therefore, be wise, use your time well, and seek His will in His Word. The challenge is, see then that you walk circumspectly. The careful walk will concern itself with wisdom, the right use of time, and desiring to know the will of God. But the passage goes on. Not only are we concerned, but we also should walk with control. The careful walk is a walk with concern, and it is a walk with control. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In verse 18 through 21, we find the other main factor in the circumspect walk, and that again is control. If we are going to walk circumspectly, then we must learn to be properly controlled. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit recorded to us in Galatians chapter 5. In that list, it's what word? Anyone know? In the fruit of the Spirit, what word would be actually the concept of self-control? Temperance. Temperance is the idea of control. God wants us to be controlled properly as we walk and as we live. And we ought to be careful to be properly controlled as a believer. As Paul begins this portion of his exhortation, he defines for us a controlled walk. And in order to help us comprehend the truth, he uses an illustration common to our understanding. It's a negative illustration by nature, but it's one that we truly do understand. He says that we are not to be drunk with wine. The concept of drunkenness means to be intoxicated, or to be under the influence of wine. The reason we should avoid wine and drunkenness is that those under the influence of alcohol will be led to excess. That word excess is one that means recklessly wasteful. So Paul gives the illustration. He wants us to understand that a circumspect walk is going to desire proper control. So he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. One under the influence of alcohol, one controlled or intoxicated by it, will be led to excess. It's amazing what alcohol and the control and the intoxication will cause people to do. You know, here's the reality when you consider alcohol. Alcohol has never helped anyone. It is destructive by nature and always leads to waste. There are certain things in this life that to us should never be hard. Some people wonder about things. Is it okay to drink a little? Once you drink, you're intoxicated. You're under that influence and you're under its control. It's a problem. You know, if I look at my Bible, it's very clear what God thinks about drunkenness. He despises it. That's clear. But you know what? If I even set the Bible aside and I consider alcohol, it is something that we as a society should ban from use. Because it has never helped anyone. Think of the countless lives that have been destroyed because of drunkenness. I remember years ago someone coming in and wanting to convince me that really to be one who drinks isn't a problem and God understands. And I said that to him. I said, tell me one person that alcohol has ever helped. Oh, I can't think of anybody. I said, I can tell you millions who would tell you that it's hurt. So Paul uses that illustration and says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Don't be controlled by another substance. Now he comes to the positive. Instead, be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. To drive home that truth, he contrasts the waste of the drunkard, and we are to be filled by the Holy Spirit. That word filled means to make full, by example, to fill to the top so that there is no want. It's interesting, this word in the original is a present passive. What that means is simply this. The subject, that would be you and me, is passive. We are receiving the action. So here's what Paul is saying. You as a believer need to allow the Spirit of God to fill you to the top. So that there is room for nothing else and that you will want nothing. You are to allow Him to fill your life. And be under His control, under His influence. If we're going to walk circumspectly, we're going to be concerned and we're going to seek to be under His control. Who's in control of your life? What controls you day by day, decision by decision? You know what the Scripture tells me it should be? The Holy Spirit. That we are filled to the top. Our life filled by His, then we will walk carefully. In verse 19 to 21, he gives us the evidences of a life filled by the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. By the way, I know those things all go together because that's one sentence. Verse 19 doesn't end with a period. It ends with a semicolon. And so that which follows Verse 18 ends in the semicolon, and that which follows is all connected. The evidence of a life filled by the Spirit of God really are three things. We demonstrate His control in our lives by our worship. We demonstrate control of our lives by our worship. We are to be speaking to ourselves in song. Our heart is to be enraptured in worship. And the idea here is that it's a state of mind more than it's a singular act. Do you find yourself going throughout the day singing to yourself or speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs? What occupies your mind when there's a free moment? What occupies your mind while you're going about your chores? You know what God says? One of the things that ought to be evident in our lives is we should be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sometimes I listen to folks and they talk about how difficult it is, how discouraging things are. I wish there was someone to come along and encourage me. You know, we need that encouragement from other people. And we're told, by the way, to exhort one another daily while it's called today. And we're to edify the body of Christ in love. But you know that we can do an awful lot to edify ourselves by speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're told that a life filled by the Spirit of God is a life that will be overrun with worship. There is also a heart of thankfulness. There's to be a heart of thankfulness. We're to be thankful for all things and at all times. That's what verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. We're to give thanks always and for all things. Finally, we demonstrate a life filled by the Spirit when we walk in humility before others, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The challenge for us is to walk in a way well pleasing unto Him, to walk circumspectly. We know that we're called upon to walk worthy of our calling, and not by or not as the world around us. We've been given a new life, abundant and free. He in love provided for us this new way, and we ought to walk in love and in light, a pure life before a holy God. In order to do all those things that we've already discussed in weeks gone by, we need to learn to walk carefully. We must order our steps properly and trust in the God who desires to cause us to walk in righteousness and true holiness. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Not as a fool, but as wise. Are you guarding your steps spiritually? Are you careful in the things that you do? If we are, we're going to be concerned about wisdom and walking in wisdom. We're going to be concerned to redeem our time and to understand and know the will of God as we stay close to Him, as we stay in His Word. Not only are we going to be concerned with those things, we're going to allow the Spirit of God to fill us and to control our lives day by day. In order for Him to have that control, we've got to yield it. We've got to give it. We've got to be willing, as the verse says, to receive it. Too often, we're busy resisting His desire to fill us. But God says we're to be filled. We're to receive that filling and allow Him to control us day by day. It'll show in our worship. It will show as we live. It will be demonstrated through others. They will know that we're being filled by the Spirit of God. We ought to walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as a wise man. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight that we can come and gather together at study your word again. We ask and pray that you would help us each and every one to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but that we would walk wisely in this day and age. Lord, we need wisdom, and wisdom comes from above. If any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given unto us. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for our time together tonight. Bless us as we go. Keep us safe as we travel home and as we serve thee the rest of this week. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.